You're listening to Garden Talk on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And in the first hour of the show today, we're going to talk about improving your soil with the use of pellets made from locally sourced wool. A couple of Wisconsin residents and business partners with us today, Elaine Becker and Karen Mayhew. Their business is called Woolets, and it's based in Argyle, Wisconsin. Elaine's an educator, prairie enthusiast, with a degree in environmental science. And Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Karen is a fiber artist and a shepherd and a fourth-generation farmer with a background in large-market vegetable farming. And Karen, it's great to have you with us as well.
Thanks so much.
So as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. We can take some gardening questions because these folks know prairies and they know vegetables and both know flowers, so we can take those kinds of questions. But we also want to talk about their wool pellets. They're called Woolets. I'm wondering if you ever had wool in your garden. Probably not. Maybe not anyway. What questions do you have about wool pellets? What other gardening questions do you have as we move along today? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. And Elaine, just to start, you're quite a prairie enthusiast.
Yes, my husband and I have two prairies that span across our yard, and we just love going out to collect seeds and spread them out, and I also start prairie seeds, prairie starts from seeds using Woolets, and then give them a couple of years and then transplant them into the prairie.
Oh, wonderful. And Karen, you have a pretty good-sized vegetable garden.
I do. I would like it to be bigger, but I don't have much flat space on my property.
Yeah.
I do have a little bit of prairie, but I'll admit my sheep eat it more often than not.
Okay, so, and you did have you were involved in commercial vegetable
production. Yes. When I was younger, my family had a very large farm in Maryland, and we used to ship semi-truckloads of fresh veggies up every summer to big cities like Baltimore and Washington, D.C. and New York City and Philly.
So a lot of experience there. And now we've got these Woolets, which are 100% raw wool pellets for horticulture use. And there's a lot of reasons for it. But how did you get this started anyway?
Well, I've been looking at this as an opportunity for the last couple of years, ever since I heard about the first wool pellet mill that was developed in Germany about 10 years ago. And when I was really ready to take the next step and make the leap, I was telling Elaine about it.
And when Karen first told me about it, I realized how beneficial this could be for the entire planet, for the Earth, as an alternative to peat use.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is such a fantastic idea.
Well, peat moss, I mean, there's a lot of concern about the use of peat moss in horticulture, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Peat is the most efficient carbon sink we have on the earth. It covers about 3% of the earth, but it can store 33% of the carbon that we create. But it's unsustainable because it takes thousands of years to develop. And it can be destroyed in a fraction of that amount of time. So people need to find alternatives to using peat, and wool could be the answer.
Well, I looks like it can be. Looks like it is. I've got a bag of your Woolets in front of me. I'm sorry. Describe what is a Woolet.
Well, we start with raw wool straight off the sheep. We shred it in our shredder, also called a wool crusher. And her name is Wilma, and she has 9 whirling blades of death. You don't want to get your fingers in there. And then after the wool is shredded or crushed, we put it in our pellet mill, and her name is Betty. And Betty shoots out the pellets after heating them up to 180 degrees. So that kills off any weed seeds. And then the lanolin that is in the raw wool melts in that heat and binds the pellets together, shoots them out the other end, and then when they cool and harden, they're ready to go.
And I'm trying to think of this. They're pellets. They're small. They look like a pellet from maybe
rabbit food.
Rabbit food, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it looks like. And I opened the bag and took a smell right away because I wanted to see how it's not a
smells like sheep.
smells a little like sheep. The research that you must have did you do some research on this?
We did. I'm going to let Elaine talk about
that. Okay, Elaine, yeah. Talk about that.
There have been some studies done looking at wool for moisture retention and nutrient release. The University of Vermont has done a study, Ohio State University. Those are two that have run trials involving wool. They found that when put up against typical fertilizer protocols, wool gave increased yields and even halved the amount of time it took from seed to market-ready harvest, especially with tomatoes. In the Ohio study, using traditional protocol, greenhouses could bring organic tomatoes from seed to market-ready harvest in about 76 days. But with wool pellets and their nitrogen punch, you could bring tomatoes market-ready in as little as 38 days.
So that's a big difference. And the difference, why? They must have said why.
They believe it's because of the nitrogen punch.
And if you look at you've done your research on the nitrogen, potassium, no phosphorus, which is great because most of our soils have plenty of phosphorus anyway, and in some places like Madison, you're not supposed to use it or
exactly legacy phosphorus. Yeah, is what we call it in the farmland. I have it at my farm as well. We can't add anything more. But wool has less than 1%. It's just trace elements of phosphorus.
And then how much nitrogen?
Nitrogen averages between 9 and 14%. So that is three times the amount in chicken manure. But because there's no urea in the wool, you're not getting any kind of fertilizer burn. So it's a big pop.
Yeah, it would be. And then potassium?
About 2%.
About 2%. Mm-hmm. So... And this is not like putting some commercial fertilizer on because if I'm not, it's just kind of a slow release, correct?
Very slow, and it breaks down over time, releasing all the nutrients. So it's perfect. It won't burn your plants or the roots either.
And also, it's aerating the soil while it's breaking down and releasing those nutrients.
So, and I would think, talk about the water and the water retention that may be involved here. Elaine, go ahead.
So wool is moisture balancing, and I like to say wool is magical. It has characteristics that are polar opposites. Wool is hygroscopic, which means water absorbing, while at the same time it's hydrophobic, which means it repels water. And because of these two seemingly conflicting characteristics, wool will help your plants better handle the wild swings that we're seeing due to climate change.
So it'll retain water better.
So peat generally the accepted rate for water retention for peat is 15 to 20% its own weight. Wool holds 30 times its weight in moisture. And it holds that and then releases it slowly. And because it balances according to the environment it's in, if you have too wet soil, we get one of those torrential rains we were having at the beginning of the summer, it grabs that water and holds it away from the roots so the roots get air and they can breathe and they're not drowning. And then it will release it back as it dries. So you can water about 25% less using wool in your soil.
That's a pretty big number, and not only if you have it out in your garden, but I would think it'd be great for pots and potted plants.
Yes, I had an experiment at my place earlier this spring when I planted some purple beans.
Mm-hmm.
I planted one pot with Woollett's and one pot without, and the soil medium was exactly the same. When I put the seeds in and the soil in, I did not realize that in the wool pellets pot, I didn't have any drainage holes. Yep. So I thought, oh, this is going to be a big problem. But it turned out to be great because it was a great example of the fact that we had torrential rains at the time, and the pot that had the Woollett's not only germinated faster, produced better plants and many more beans, but because of all that water that was in there, the wool absorbed the water. Whereas the other pot that had the holes in it, it was drenched all the time. And those plants, the beans, looked sickly because they just couldn't handle the amount of water that was being retained in the soil, where the wool pulled the moisture away from the roots.
It sounds great. Dale asked, Dale in Mauston called, couldn't stay with us, but asked how the wool pellets affect the pH of the soil.
Wool is, our test with the UW Soil and Forage Lab came up with wool at about 8, so it's pretty close to neutral.
Okay, so...
But we have been looking into some research that says actually wool is one of those materials that can both acidify and turn more base, alkali or whatever. I have to look up the research on it.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at that. And Marianne in Belgium, she just asked if these pellets can be used in houseplants. And,
Absolutely.
There's that. Bonnie in Wanakee, here's just a plant question. Bonnie in Wanakee emailed, she has some perennials that she plans to transplant this fall. With the warmer weather, is it still okay to transplant perennials in the next few weeks?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't even started working on moving my perennials around. And I do throw in wool pellets around them when I'm planting them in. It helps avoid transplant shock. Seems to protect the plants from that and keeps the soil moist around them while they get settled. Also, those pellets will break down completely over the winter. And by spring, when the plants are waking up and ready to work again, they will have those nutrients already available in the soil.
Perfect. Elaine Becker and Karen Mayhew are our guests today. Their business is called Woollett's. They make wool pellets that can be used as an alternative to peat moss. And, of course, they're both gardeners, both prairie gardens as well as vegetable gardens and flower gardeners as well. So you can call in with your questions maybe about the wool pellets, but also about other plants, about the plants as well as we move along. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Thanks so much for joining us today for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Elaine Becker and Karen Mayhew, a couple of Wisconsinites who have a business called Woollett's. They make wool pellets that can be used as an alternative to peat moss. And we've heard about their fertilizing advantages and also about their water retaining value as well, as we talked with them. It's great to have them here. You can join in. Maybe you've got a question about the pellets, or maybe you've got a question about your plants. Give us a call. 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. And just to mention, in the second hour of Garden Talk today, we'll take a look at heirloom apples with Dan Bussey. Dan's originally from Edgerton, Wisconsin, and he's authored a 7-volume book. It's titled The Illustrated History of Apples in the United States and Canada. So looking forward to talking with him as well. Dave in Appleton has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Actually, I've got two questions. One is, organic farmers have to follow very strict rules and what they use to plant their produce with. Can they use these pellets? And the second question is, can I use just regular wool around my plants if I have the availability.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, thanks for calling in, Dan. The answer to both of your questions is yes. Yes, you can. We have been approved for organic farmers to use, organic growers, by MOSA, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And then also, I myself have been using my fleeces in the ground in my garden and around my trees and wherever for years. The pellets make it a little bit easier to use. You know, they're much more convenient to store and don't take up as much space. They also break down a lot faster. So if you're putting wool directly into your soil around your transplants or whatever, it's going to take a couple of seasons to break down, whereas the pellets will break down in 6 to 12 months. Also, make sure you don't till anything with the wool still in the soil, or it will make a hot mess of your rototiller blades.
The wool, but not the pellets.
Right, not the pellets, but the wool. Experience speaks there.
And you guys have, actually, you have, you're selling another product that relates to wool as a kind of a mulch?
Mm-hmm. We do sell the cleaner wool from my sheep as a mulching fleece. 1 pound covers about 9 square feet. So if you're looking for protection from slugs and snails or deer and rabbits or just an extra way to cool your soil and keep it moister, you can just put the raw fleece around. I do take it up at the end of the season and let it dry and store it in the garage, and then I can use it again for about 2 to 3 seasons.
And it's so it really does repel?
It really does.
Rabbits and deer?
Yeah, they don't like the lanolin in wool, the deer and the rabbits, but it's also a slug and snail repellent because the slugs and snails don't like the barbed fibers of the wool. So,
And that include the pellets too?
Yes.
So there you go, Dave. Did we answer all your questions there? Sorry.
Actually, just one little follow-up. I appreciate that. I lost the volume here. So if I wanted to take some wool from anywhere, I can just put it around the top of my plants on the soil, 3 inches thick. It'll work just fine and take it off each year?
For mulching purposes, yes. If you want to add the nitrogen and the other nutrients to your soil, then you'd be better off burying it in the ground, which is why we like the pellets, because it breaks down faster and releases those nutrients quicker.
Yeah. There you go, Dave. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate
Thanks,
your call. Let's go to Mary in Plover, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I have a couple of questions. Well, number one, I'm just trying my new tomatilla salsa I just made.
Yum.
But we're doing a big deck project, and I have to move a lot of my perennials, including peonies and lilies. What's the best time to move both of those? And they'll be going to a temporary spot for a while so I can move them back in.
So peonies and what was the other?
Lilies. I have various lilies.
Oh, well, you should be able to move those without. Yeah, go ahead.
Karen, you should be able to move those once the foliage has died down. You should be able to move them with no problems. I usually like to wait until the peonies are pretty well yellowed before I do anything with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that shouldn't be too long in Plover, I wouldn't think. How do they look now, Mary?
Where can I get these woolettes or whatever you're calling them?
Woolettes. You can find them at any of the Jung's stores. You can also find them at Wisconsin Weekly Harvest if you're online. You can find them at Ader's Hardware and Aspen Ridge Home and Garden in Mineral Point. Am I missing anybody?
I think you got it all.
Yeah.
But
or you can order them from us as well. Online.
Yeah, you sell them online.
We do. Yeah. We do. It's www.woolets.net.
So woolets, if I'm
Correct.
Not mistaken.
Yep. And .net.
.net.
Right.
So, Mary, there you go. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Carolyn in Madison.
Hi. My question is, if it repels deer and rabbits, how does it do with squirrels and chipmunks?
I don't think there's any research on that, and my guess is it's not going to work for squirrels.
I don't think anything repels squirrels. They have dug up my plants right around the wool and flung them willy-nilly.
Okay, so squirrels is not going to help much with squirrels, Carolyn, but if you got rabbits or you got deer, could be some help there. Thank you very much for calling. And Robin in Colgate, it's your turn. Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I'm just curious if it matters when you're looking for these mullets, does it matter how they're how the sheep are fed or farmed on the front end for what you receive on the back end?
Yeah, Karen?
Well, we do source from Wisconsin farmers, and we know our farmers. So we know that they are taking care to be raising with care and humane practices. So as far as that goes, you can be sure that, that these are well taken care of sheep. And as far as what they eat, you know, wool is wool. It's kind of like human hair. It's an organic substance, and there's not going to be anything that's given to a sheep raised with care and humane methods that would be a problem for anything in your soil or your plants.
Okay. Robin, does that help?
It does. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Carol emailed to say she has 10 full wool bags. wondering how much do you pay for wool and where can she take her wool to sell it to you, Karen?
Well, at the moment, we are full up on wool. I don't even know how many thousands of pounds we have in our garage. We have paid farmers for, so far, 11,000 pounds of wool this year. Although there's 80 pounds of my or 80 bags of my own wool in the garage, we still do buy. So we're full up for this year. Probably we'd be looking at buying wool again in the spring, and it's going to depend on the market. We have been able to pay up to 50 cents a pound, but it depends on what the market is running at that point and how many pellets we've sold. But you can reach out on our website, and it'll have a note on there when we're buying wool again.
And the website again?
www.woolets.net.
W-O-O-L-L-E-T-S, woolets.net. There you go. Thank you so much for that question and comment. Let's go to Marilyn. What is the ratio of woolets? This is not worded quite the way I would have worded it, maybe. Marilyn emailed to ask what the ratio is of the amount of woolets to area and how big are the pellets. So we did talk about size, but go ahead, Elaine.
Yeah. If you have 30 square feet, 1 pound of woolets will cover that 30 square feet. If you're talking about pot sizes, if you're going to repot plants, you can do up to about a half a cup of woolets to a gallon of soil. Just always remember less is more. You can always add more woolets later, but you don't want to give too much nitrogen right off the bat, because we did have a customer who put too many woolets in her pot, and when she watered it, they expanded, and the plant lifted right out of the pot.
Oh, yeah. So best to follow the instructions
up to
the package.
Yes, we do have a guide on our website to tell you how much to use. But I also want to point out that when you're repotting your plants at home or you're thinking about adding woolets, you don't have to repot everything. You can just take a chopstick or a spoon handle and just make a little divot and insert the wool pellet around the perimeter of your pot. And that way it saves you a lot of time and hassle rather than repotting everything until you're absolutely ready.
I'd say a pencil. A pencil end would be the perfect
size, right? It would be
about the put them in.
Diameter of a pencil eraser.
Yeah.
And you want to get that down in the root zone. So that's a good way to do
that. Down about an inch or two, maybe?
About 2 inches, I would say.
Two inches?
As far as pot sizes go, for about a 6-inch pot, I generally put about a tablespoon of pellets in is all.
Yeah. So that's not very much. Carol in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Carol.
My question is, what is the effect on the soil long term?
Yeah, so you're adding woolets over time. What's the effect on the soil, Elaine?
The effect on the soil is
is great. You have the soil biome that's being fed from the macro and micronutrients, and you have the aeration. So you're building that soil structure.
So there are macro and micronutrients within the wool pellets.
Yes.
And this is all, by the way, this is not, there's not something added to the pellets. It's
correct.
The wool itself, and I think you said it's the lanolin that when you heat it, it serves as the binder.
It's one of the
lanolin
binders.
Lanolin already in the wool?
Yeah, it's one of the binders. The scales also help hold the wool together. You know how wool can be itchy?
Yeah.
Right. It's those scales that kind of get intertwined and locked together.
Oh.
Yeah, wool has scales like human hair. They're basically made out of keratin, just like hair is. And so they kind of interlock during the process, and then the heated up lanolin holds everything together. One thing that I will mention is that if you're not adding organic matter to your soil, the soil microbes don't have anything to feed on. So if you're continually adding chemical, synthetical fertilizers or whatever, you're feeding your plant, but you're not feeding your soil. And eventually your soil biome is going to die off. And then your soil is worse than when you started. So they need a natural substance, and wool gives them that in spades.
Let's turn to Reese, who's on the road headed to Chicago. Hi, Reese.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not in Wisconsin, obviously, do I do this, but I am a cannabis grower. So I grow indoors under high-intensity light. We have a very short and rapid cycle, and I'm wondering about Woolitz as opposed to peat and sphagnum moss. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not actually certain what the question is, but...
Oh, wondering if he uses sphagnum moss in growing...
So can it replace it?
Yeah.
It can. You're going to need to be careful of your volumes. So a 3x8 compressed bale of peat covers about 76 feet, and 2.5 pounds of Woolitz covers the same amount. So like we said earlier, less is more. I have run a couple of trials with, you know, the same amounts of peat as wool, and it's a lot of nitrogen. It's too much nitrogen. So just start smaller. You could try substituting core, the coconut core fiber in. That's what I've been doing in my peat-free potting soils.
Yeah. But the pellets would work for producing cannabis.
Oh, absolutely. The every plant seems to like it. We grow it in use it in orchids, in cacti, in succulents, in fussy Boston ferns, you know, whatever. So just consider that your fertilizer and your moisture retention, but you won't need as much as you do with the peat. So that's why I was suggesting adding the coconut core instead of, you know, like in the amount that you would add peat and then add the Woolitz to do your moisture and your nitrogen.
Mm. Reese, does that help?
Well, it helps a bit, but we strangely, I think, and not typically of crops, we have found that if you hit the drying, if you dry out the media each day and water again, that's the best for production and rapid growth.
Oh.
So too much water retention is not beneficial. But to make it through the day, perhaps using less media might be useful. But how much, what is the cost as compared with peat and sphagnum?
In the bulk pricing that we use, Woolitz are about 20 cents per square foot, and peat was coming out at about 23 cents per square foot.
Okay. Well, there you go. And the and you can order... Reese could order online if he wants to give it a shot.
He could. If he wants to do bulk rates, he should send us an inquiry and we'll talk about how much he needs and how we can accommodate that. But we have done up to 1,000 pounds at a time for someone.
Okay. Reese, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too at 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. We'll get you on pretty quickly. We got open lines. Mary emailed. She lives in northeast Wisconsin, very sandy soil in the woods. They've lost a lot of trees due to storms, so the front ditch of their property is full sun now, and she'd like to plant the typical natives you see along the roads, goldenrod, asters, Queen Anne's lace, chicory, etc., for pollinators. Any suggestions regarding reasonable seeds for those plantings? So she's got some area, wants to know suggestions regarding reasonable seeds.
And this is Mary?
Yeah, Mary.
Mary, I would start collecting seeds at the side of the road because then you know those seeds are going to make it in your area. You could also try Prairie Nursery. Neil DeBole has some great seeds out there. Prairie Moon Nursery also, I think, is a prairie place. But I would start on the side of the road, gathering your own.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea because, you know, if they grow there, those seeds are going to work.
Yeah, it's local.
It's because it's local. So there you go, Mary. Thank you for that question. Jean emailed that there's conflicting advice on fall hydrangea care. Should the blooms be removed in the fall or left until late winter? She has Zinfandel and little lime varieties. yeah, there is some question there, I guess. I think, well, I don't know. Go ahead, Karen.
I got nothing there, Larry. My hydrangeas never, I haven't found the good variety yet for my place. So you can take that one. Thank you.
well, and we were talking about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, and the guest that particular day said she, it's sort of a personal taste thing. Some people like to clean things up, and so they take those blooms off, and others just leave them. So I'm not sure there's an advantage one way or the other, and at least that guest said personal choice is probably the best. So there you go, Jean. Thank you. Dave has his own wool and is wondering if it has to be cleaned before it's used, Elaine.
You want to make sure the wool is not cleaned. You want the raw wool right off your sheep. That's the best.
Oh, so, and why? Why is it the best?
Because we need that lanolin in order to do the pellets. We have tried to do clean wool off of a show sheep, and it just is sand. It doesn't stick together.
Okay, so that because the show sheep is
was washed and
washed,
you know, all
and cleaned
up for,
and,
yeah,
and all the lanolin
went away.
Lovely
wool, but it wouldn't stick together for anything. So that's when we realized, okay, it really is the lanolin that holds all this together. So,
all right, JJ and Madison will give you a chance. Hi, JJ.
Hello. This is kind of in line with the person who asked about organic, and my mind immediately went to vegans. And so I was curious what you would think, or if this was something you've already addressed or thought about, in that, you know, it's an animal product being used to grow whatever. But if it was potentially vegetables and things, would that make it non-vegan?
That's a good question.
I can't imagine it would.
You know, I mean, the animals aren't harmed, but it is an animal product. So,
but it's going into the soil.
But it's going into the soil. It's not,
and the
soil is being applied to the
plants. Yeah.
But the product itself is breaking down into its elements, right?
Correct.
And the soil is absorbing.
Right. So you're feeding the soil.
Yeah, the soil is absorbing
the nutrition.
The nutrition and breaking down the elements.
And then the plants are absorbing that nutrition from the soil.
The plants aren't directly absorbing the animal part itself.
Right.
Listen, JJ, we're speculating here. I can tell you that right now. But to my mind, you would be breaking down to the basic elements of the material. And it has ceased to become...
By that time, it's no longer an animal product. It's basic nitrogen and carbon and whatever. So
yeah. So I think That's the way we go. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. And I know it's a very semantic-y kind of question, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I just wanted someone else's thoughts.
I'm glad you brought it up. Something worth thinking about. And I think we got the right answer for you, but...
We haven't had that question before, so it's good to have something new to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling. Margaret in Shorewood, we'll go to you. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Hi. I have an extensive orchid collection, Phalaenopsis, Dendrobium, Paphlopedilum. What would be the ratio of orchid bark mixture to these things if I want to replant?
I don't know what the exact ratio would be necessarily, but like in my orchids, I put about a tablespoon in each pot. I have some of the really chunky, barky, you know, chunks of wood sort of orchid material, and I have put a tablespoon and a half in there because it drained so fast. And I am a notoriously lazy waterer, to be honest. I mean, that's one of the things I love about the pellets is that I can forget and my plants don't die. I did notice that I was able to salvage a couple by adding about a tablespoon and a half in. I think it's something you'd have to play with. If you have a soil mix or a soil-less mix that has more small bits in it that are going to hold more water, then maybe you don't need as much wool. But anything that is very chunky, I think you'd want a little bit more wool in.
Yeah. All right.
Does that answer it?
Yeah, so in a 6-inch plastic orchid pot, a tablespoon with the big bark.
Yes, I think that would be about perfect for you.
All right. Thank you, Margaret, for calling. Appreciate it. Dot in Chippewa Falls, your turn.
Hi. I do not go online. I don't know how. I was wondering if you had a telephone number that I could call to buy these pellets.
Sure.
Well, you could call me if you like. It's 608-228-3603. Generally, just leave a message and I would get back to you. But if you're near a Jung store, you could actually pick one up there. They have them in all of our store at all of their stores now.
And Jung's is all over the place. Mm-hmm. All over the place. So it's nice to have that. But the number again was 608-228-3603. Did you get that, Dot?
Yep, thank you.
All
You're
right.
welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org as we visit with our two guests, Elaine Becker and Karen Mayhew. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guests, Elaine Becker and Karen Mayhew. Their business is called Woolets. And Jill let me know she's been getting some calls for people not being finding the wool, the website because they're using one L instead of two. So Woolets, it's two O's and two L's. Woolets. Apparently, if you only use one L, it's not going to come up.
Right.
And .net at the end, too.
Right.
Woolets.net.
Correct.
Correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I've got that out of the way. John in Dodgeville, thank you for calling.
Yes, my question was if you could put Woolets on your yard, of just areas of my yard that don't hold moisture for whatever reason.
I think that's a great idea. In fact, I was thinking that we should contact some grass seed companies and see if they want to put grass seed with Woolets to broadcast, because I think that would not only help the seeds grow, but also build the soil right there. So I say do it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Of course, you wouldn't want to run your lawnmower over it after you just laid it out there, but...
Well, the pellets are shredded up, so
yeah.
Even when they expand, they're just fluff at that point. It's not going to bind up into anything with that point. It's if you use raw wool without being shredded that it binds up.
Yeah, I was thinking of it blowing away.
Oh, typically, you know, it doesn't.
No, as soon as it gets wet, it expands, and then it kind of adheres to the ground.
Okay. John, does that help?
Yes. How densely would you spread it?
I would go with 1 pound covering 30 square feet. And then if it looks like it's not holding enough, or if you're spreading your seed a little thicker, you could add some more to it. You'd be our first test with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might give it a try.
All right.
Let us know.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, here's an email from Kate, who says she has lots of holy wool socks. Can she cut them up and use them in the soil? Well, now, wool socks it depends, I suppose, if they were 100% wool.
You can. You can cut up wool sweaters and whatever and use them. Cut them up small so that they have, you know, a chance to break down. But if you would be better off with 100% wool socks. Because if they have any sort of, you know, the nylon or any of the other spandexy type things, then you're just adding plastic to your soil.
Somebody might wonder, you know, you are also kind of a weaver, and are you not?
No, I'm a spinner and a knitter.
Spinner and a knitter.
Right.
And you're using wool for that, and somebody else might say, well, why don't you just use it all for that? Why what kind of wool are you using here?
Well, there's a lot of different grades of wool. Historically, sheep wool was sold and processed into garments and blankets and rugs. And with the development of synthetic fibers, wool, as a general rule, became a valueless waste byproduct of raising sheep. Most of the 300,000 pounds of wool produced by Wisconsin farms gets thrown away or burned. A lot of it is not suitable for spinning into yarn or weaving or whatever. So that's a real big waste of resources. So I do have, as many of us do, we do have special wool that is suitable for spinning, but then there's a lot of junk. You know, any of the meat breeds are not going to have the best wool for spinning. So that wool's got to go somewhere because we have to shear the sheep. So that's why we use what we use. Also, most of the wool buyers that are out there now are paying about a penny to 2 cents per pound for wool. So it's not really worth it for the farmer to try and sell it because it costs them $6 to $10 per head of sheep to shear.
So you're paying farmers more than a penny.
Right.
So what's the current price?
We have been able to pay 50 cents throughout the year. And as I said, we've bought about 11,000 pounds of wool so far. But we're full up, and so we'll have to see what it'll be in the spring when we need some more wool.
Yeah, of course, but that's 50 times.
Right, right.
What they would have,
correct.
Well, they would have thrown it away.
Right. I mean, there is still a wool buyer down in Illinois that buys a lot, but they won't buy any black wool. And they won't buy any wool that's too dirty. So we're able to take even the really dirty, yucky stuff. Mm-hmm. And we actually like the colored wool. It makes really pretty dark pellets.
Yeah.
And I love the aspect of diverting a waste product from the waste stream. If we can divert more products from the waste stream and use the resources that we have, we're doing a better thing for the environment. Everyone can benefit from this.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, the mulching fleece and the wool shreds, you're selling shreds too? I'm not sure what's the difference between a mulching fleece and a shred?
Well, the fleece is from the entire animal, or you know, it's not broken up at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just from the shearing process. The shreds are from our first process of putting them into the shredder, the fleeces into the shredder. So it allows for a little aeration in the soil. It allows for water retention, nutrient release. But the difference between shreds and pellets is the shreds haven't been through the heat treated process.
Oh, yeah.
So you might have weed seeds.
Yeah. So
I think you get more bang for your buck if you are putting the pellets into the ground, because that's about six times the amount of wool in a shred that's compressed down. So for nitrogen and nutrient release, you want to use the shreds in the ground, the pellets in the ground. But the shreds are nice if you just have a couple of plants you want to protect from slugs and snails. You can sprinkle the shreds around and make a little barrier and they won't cross that. You can use it in your pots to fill up the holes in the bottom of your pots.
You know, I'm looking at your I'm looking at your packaging, which is nice.
Thank you.
And I like the something special from Wisconsin seal on it, as on every package that. But this, so the packaging is pretty cool, and but it, this is you don't have hundreds of employees running around out there doing this work. It's kind of
it's just us.
Just the
and we both have full time jobs.
Yeah.
You both have full-time jobs, and you kind of make do a little bit. I mean, the product is there, and the product's good, but some even if a box, you get boxes from wherever you can get boxes from to when you're shipping.
Yep, mostly the schools. I'm fortunate to work at a school, so any boxes that are going to be recycled, I scoop them up and bring them to our shop.
Sustainability is very important to us in our operation. So, you know, we use paper tape if it's, you know, unless we're shipping out something that is too heavy for the paper tape to be able to do it, but or to support it. But we try to be sustainable in every aspect. Any wool that we're processing and we can't use it, it's got too many burrs or, you know, giant tags or whatever, that goes gets composted at my farm so that we are as zero waste as possible.
Yeah. How long does it take to compost that?
I don't know. I don't really turn my compost pile.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I have. Well, I have a barn full of compost, that, you know, barn debris. So, yeah, we keep thinking we're going to do that. But after a couple of years, I just fish out from the bottom and go use it. It's great. The lazy man's way to do that.
Oh, man. So what are your plans? I mean, are you going to, is it this way you're going to keep going? I mean, how many people, how many of these could you... You're probably going to get some orders today. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Well, that would be super.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Our vision is to have a place that's not a corner of Karen's workshop and George's workshop. And my vision, and I've talked to Karen a little bit about this, is to be on a main street and have a storefront with a shop behind where we can store the wool. It could be a net zero building. Fingers crossed that we could do some kind of solar and just be a very sustainable operation, doing the best for our environment that we can.
I would like us to be able to get bigger machines so that we can do 500 pounds an hour.
Yeah, what can you do now?
On a perfect day, about 45 to 50 pounds an hour.
50 pounds an hour.
A lot of the problem with the pelleting, why it's not perfect, is that wool has to be a specific moisture level. It has to be between 10 and 15% to pellet well. Otherwise, it just doesn't. So if we could do larger machines, move things a lot faster when we're having a good moisture level day, that would be a lot better.
How do you check the moisture? You stick a...
We do have a moisture meter, a textile meter that, you know, we got off Amazon. Yep. And then we use that Amazon box to ship out some more pellets.
And sometimes we're just running the wool through, and when I pelletize it, if it doesn't pellet right, then I have to wait for it to cool down a little bit, pellet it again. If it can absorb some more of the water or release the vapor. So it's a trial and error every time.
Now, if you stick it in some pots in your house, is it going to, you know, wool may have this doesn't smell, it smells like wool, but is there an objectionable? I can't imagine there is.
Within the pots, the product doesn't smell at all.
Yeah,
once it's in the soil, it doesn't smell.
You're taking your pencil and digging those spots in around the edge. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Elaine and Karen.
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
And I really appreciate your time, and I think it's a great business. I love what you're doing here, and hopefully we can get a report from you down the road. You're going to have to tell me if you sell any woolets today as a result of this program.
I have seen a couple of orders come in already, so thanks very much.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
We appreciate being here, Larry.
Elaine Becker and Karen Mayhew, and their business is Woolets, and two O's and two L's there, woolets.net. You're going to find it. And coming up, we're going to switch from wool to apples and take a look at heirloom apples. I'm Larry Mealer.